Chapter 19, Prophecies Concerning the World. In our last chapter, we endeavored to consider the prophetical utterances of Scripture relating to the Church. Whether we take the term as referring to visible and particular churches, or to the one mystical body of Christ. We feel that the subject was treated very inadequately, but insofar as we were able to trace the words of promise and prophecy relating to the Church, it was found that these had been abundantly fulfilled and are still being so. May it please the Lord yet to grant some fulfillment of them in the present day, although it be one of the small things, and if it could be His will, grant better things to come. Now we desire to consider the revelation of divine prophecy concerning the world, and in using that expression, we mean it to refer to that part of mankind which is not included in the Church. It is a solemn consideration at the outset that this scriptural division embraces the whole of mankind, so that we must either be a part of that mystical body of Christ or of the world which lieth in wickedness. This use of the expression world is plainly intended in many parts of the Bible. Take, for instance, the following: I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The ends of these two parties is also solemnly treated of in the Bible. As to their passing out of the present time state, it is said, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." And then, in the last great day of judgment, the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, and say unto them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Whereas to the goats on his left hand he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What a solemn distinction, and how we do need to be concerned as to which we belong. Doubtless, the former word, with regard to the wicked and righteous in their death, has been fulfilled over and over again, and we may frequently have been witnesses of it during our own lives. The latter word concerning the last great day will also be as surely fulfilled in the Lord's own time. Now the world, even in the sense in which we have defined it, is not wholly an irreligious or infidel world. On the contrary, and there are many included in it who are religious, but are yet destitute of that knowledge of God and Christ which is saving. Satan is the god of this world, and although he has many in his kingdom who are altogether irreligious, yet he has many also whom he deceives as an angel of light, either to believe a lie, to walk in conscious hypocrisy, or to live and die in ignorance of the real state of their souls. Many such characters are referred to in the Scriptures. Who were so religious as the Pharisees? But what solemn words Christ had to say of them: "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Paul was one of the chief of them in his day. After the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Yet, he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. The parables of the Lord also solemnly set forth these characters. There are tares among the wheat, and foolish virgins with the wise. There are those who receive the word, but are like the stony ground or the thorny ground, which bring forth no fruit to perfection. All these call him Lord, Lord, but do not the things which he has said. And at last, when they protest that they have done many wonderful things in his name, he will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. This constitutes a most solemn part of the world of which we write. Yet it was prophesied that there should be such, and we are given several scriptural instances of them. Judas Iscariot, among the 12 disciples of the Lord, is an outstanding and solemn example, and the psalmist mentions him in the spirit of prophecy, that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. We are told also what a terrible end he should come to, as he clothed himself with cursing like as with his garment, so let it come unto his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Hence we read that he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. This also had been prophesied by Zechariah. Peter, again, after the ascension of Christ, discloses further particulars of the end of Judas. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem. Truly and solemnly the curse came into his bowels like water. Others there were later who professed to be apostles. The Ephesian church tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And Paul speaks of false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, whose end shall be according to their works. Others he describes as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Some are made manifest in this time state and overtaken by the judgments of the Lord as solemn examples, such as Ananias and Sapphira, Herod, Elymas the sorcerer, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Others may go quietly out of this life, but shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. But if we take the irreligious part of the world, we shall find the testimony of the scriptures fulfilled, while it is true that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction, yet it is also manifest at times in this life that God is angry with the wicked every day, and upon them he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. At the same time, we must remember that the ungodly, having their portion in this life, may seem for the most part to get through life easily and to have all that they could wish here below. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. The wicked may be in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree for a long season. But there comes an end to his day of prosperity. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Often, judgments will overtake them in this life. But if not, if they should prosper here, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes, and there should be no bands in their death, but their strength is firm, yet there is eternal judgment to come. In the days of Noah, the wickedness of men had grown to such an extent that God determined to bring the flood to destroy the old world. And Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, prophesied of this overthrow for 120 years. Yet none would believe it, and the people continued eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Sodom and Gomorrah, too, were overthrown by fire from heaven because of their great wickedness. So through all the ages, the righteous judgments of God have been manifested at different times and in various solemn ways against the wicked. And although these go on still in their wickedness, as it was foretold to Daniel that the wicked shall do wickedly, it is true that the heavens and the earth which are now are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Although men have thought that through education and training, an increase of knowledge, man would improve as time goes on, the scriptures are continually shown to be true, that man is born in sin and will continue in evil until destruction comes at last, if grace prevent not. Moreover, it is prophesied that instead of men getting better, they shall be unusually wicked and ungodly in the last days. And how true we find this to be at the present time. What better description could be given of these latter days than those which have prophesied by holy men of old? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Here again, then, we have abundant evidence of the fulfillment of the scripture prophecies relating to this present evil world, and therein have further confirmation of the truth of Holy Writ.